Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And today we're going to be talking about what happens when you want to do something different with your career and several other things. And so we're going to have a great discussion. So please join me in welcoming Brian Akar to our program today. Welcome, Brian. How are you?
Deb, I am doing great. Thank you for having me on the show. Definitely excited to be
Perfect.
Here.
I love it. Well, let me tell people just a little bit about you, and then we will jump into this. And I want to preface it by saying you are the king of multitasking. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So let me tell folks a little bit about you, and then we will jump in. So Brian Akar, the dynamic force behind Why I Left, isn't just a podcast host. He's your companion on a journey through the intricate tapestry of career transformations. With a background as an employment attorney, consultant, and seasoned healthcare executive, Brian brings his multifaceted career experience to the mic. A lifelong learner, he not only seeks understanding, but actively executes strategies that positively impact the human experience. So again, Brian, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited. It feels so good to have someone like read that. Right?
I know. It's always fun when you hear your own bio. You're like, ooh, right? Yeah. So very cool. Well, you know, like I said, you are the king of multitasking because you do several things. But tell us a little bit more about how it is that you got to where you are today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, my journey starts, I mean, how far we want to go back, but I'm a Midwest guy.
Okay.
And so I...
Yeah, I see that Chicago sign there.
Yeah, yeah. So we, you know, what's funny, my wife and I ran the Chicago Marathon last year. We're running it again this year too. So very excited about that. But I'm originally from Michigan.
Okay.
And I went to high school there. Undergrad, ended up going to University of Florida and then back to Michigan. I was actually went to Wayne State University Law School in Detroit. And so my real career origin, the reason I give that is because I've always been kind of a nomad.
Right.
And what happened was I'm an 09 law grad. 2008 is when the market crashed.
Right.
And being in Michigan at that time, there was nothing that was going on. I was working at a firm at the time. My boss was like, hey, you know, we're not going to have anything for you. So I decided to take this leap and go and come to New York in 2000, you know, right after 2009. And the reason I share that is because I'm one of those stories. I didn't have any type of job opportunity that was coming up, nothing like that. I just tried to make it here. And so I started out just really trying to find different legal jobs. And I was struggling to find work. I couldn't find anything, not only because of where I was, but just because of people didn't know, you know, the school I went to. It was just tough. It was just really tough. And long and short, I ended up bouncing around for a little bit. I was an extra on People's Court, which is a very random trivia fact that I like to do when we play those little icebreaker games. But I did that and finally found my way into a volunteer clerkship in the commercial division of the New York State Supreme Court. And it was that push that I needed, right, to start. And eventually I then got a job in Jersey working as of counsel for a small firm there, and then pivoted into a couple in-house roles within New York City government. And what I did there was investigations into allegations of employment discrimination, harassment, retaliation, all of that stuff. And it was great. Because I learned a lot. I didn't know I was going to end up, I'm an employment attorney, but I didn't know I was going to end up in that space. And then I had, you know, kind of a career moment in 2015 where I was like, you know what, I need to make some changes here. I feel a bit stuck. And so I actually, you know, underwent coaching and just figuring out where my path was going, right? Mm-hmm. I just needed some clarity. And it led me to employee relations, kind of offshoot of HR. Mm-hmm. But then it eventually led me to healthcare. And that's where I landed in 2016 in the HR capacity, mm-hmm. working in as what they call like a business partner. Mm-hmm. But I did a lot of still employee relations stuff, but I was also had clients that I was representing. And what was great about that was that it gave me this platform to, one, provide support in a way that I hadn't mm-hmm. before. But it also gave me a chance to learn a business that I never thought I would be in. Mm-hmm. And I then, you know, I did well there, right? And so I was a manager for a few years, eventually got promoted to director and was, you know, eventually, you know, the pandemic happens mm-hmm. and I'm very involved in these kind of what happens with redeployment mm-hmm. when that first wave occurred. And that was a life and professional altering experience mm-hmm. for me mm-hmm. because I just never worked on something like that had such impact. We mm-hmm. ended up saving a couple lives, and you know, you never meet any of those people, mm-hmm. but the impact that it has on right. you doesn't go away, mm-hmm. right? And so I never forgot that. And so then I had another kind of fork in the road career moment where I was actually in line to get promoted into a different level within the HR space, mm-hmm. but then had this, what I'll say, it's random, but maybe nothing is ever random, mm-hmm. right? But had this other opportunity to then support our chief executive officer mm-hmm. as his basically chief of staff. And I ended up taking it. Mm-hmm. And it was the best decision, truthfully, I could have made because I got a chance to see the organization mm-hmm. at a level that I thought I never would.
Right.
And that was just really eye-opening. Mm-hmm. So those roles aren't forever, right? Mm-hmm. So you do those, they're typically 2-3 years. I was no different. I did mm-hmm. a couple years stint and then ended up within the role, seeing what was happening in our education and learning and innovation mm-hmm. space, and talked with the previous leader and now the current leader, who's my mm-hmm. current boss, about how I could provide support mm-hmm. in that area. And long story short, Deb, I pitched my role, right?
I love it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I pitched the vision. Mm-hmm. I had a couple projects I was working on that I was like, I knew I could take with me. Mm-hmm. And it worked, right? Mm-hmm. It worked. And so I know it's a kind of a long-winded answer to how do you got here, mm-hmm. but I think it's important because one of the themes you'll hear is that, you know, I've always kind of betting on me, right? Mm-hmm. Even when no one else has, mm-hmm. right? I'm betting on myself, mm-hmm. and I haven't been shy about, you know, saying, hey, here's what I see, mm-hmm. here's what I can do, mm-hmm. let me try to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And you need people to believe in those types right. of visions, mm-hmm. and thankfully, though, you know, they did, mm-hmm. and now that's where I am today. So I'm currently in healthcare. I work at a place called Northwell, and I'm in the VP of Workforce and Community mm-hmm. Education within that space. Mm-hmm. And one of my main goals is to really showcase the different opportunities that exist mm-hmm. within healthcare mm-hmm. for people who may not have been exposed to it. Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to, you know, change the face of healthcare education mm-hmm. and innovation. And I'm right. just really proud to be a part of that.
I love it. I love it. Well, like I said, so many hats, so many different things that you do. Yeah, let's kind of, and so we're just going to jump around, right?
Sure.
I'm going to be like squirrel. So, you know, I love that your work in healthcare, because, you know, that's actually how you and I got connected, and you were graciously helping me on an initiative that I'm working on. But, you know, we know how challenging healthcare is right now. I mean, just this morning on the radio, they were talking about the fact that burnout is so high, especially because of COVID. But, you know, I think it is one of the most unappreciated, and I don't care what level somebody is, whether they're, you know, the person that comes in and cleans all the way up to, you know, physicians, CEOs, all of those. I don't think we appreciate those folks nearly enough. But, you know, how is it that things are changing, and how do you keep people in their roles, or more importantly, maybe transition them into something that's a better fit?
Yeah. So when you think about burnout, I think one of the contributing factors to that is not only, yes, the workload may mm-hmm. be high, but also there's a whole host of other factors that mm-hmm. play into outside of, I'll say, healthcare, but just mm-hmm. any industry that you're mm-hmm. involved with. You know, inflation's at 8% and all these yeah. other things are going on.
Yeah, they were talking about housing interest rates yeah. are 7%, 7% for a housing loan. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and all of these things keep compounding. Mm-hmm. And so to your point around, well, how do you kind of keep people, you know, engaged? I think it's around, well, what's the purpose? Mm-hmm. What's your purpose?
Right.
And mm-hmm. really having people buy into that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, we're having this conversation today, and today I released an episode where there's a woman named Aoife who I chatted with, mm-hmm. and she talks a lot about this values alignment mm-hmm. and aligning your mm-hmm. personal values with the organizational mm-hmm. values. But you need to make sure that the organization is living up to those values.
Right. So that's not just what they've carved into the wall.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what I think happens at times is you do see that disconnect. Mm-hmm. What I've been proud to say, and look, I've never been bedside, right? I've never been a mm-hmm. clinical type of, mm-hmm. of provider, but I can comfortably say, having supported a lot of those mm-hmm. folks, that we're not only saying those things, mm-hmm. we're actually kind of backing that mm-hmm. up on how we go about supporting mm-hmm. our team members through the variety of not only mental well-being supports, mm-hmm. but, you know, total well-being from mm-hmm. financial, physical, all of that. But I think there are ways that organizations, and ours specifically, has done that successfully. Mm-hmm. And that could be, you know, we have, you know, like wellness warriors and wellness types of initiatives. Mm-hmm. And we focus on, you know, there are times when folks need breaks. And then look, it's more than like pizza parties and things like that. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, different breath work. How do you calm mm-hmm. yourself? How do you navigate mm-hmm. situations mm-hmm. where, look, this, you know, you may have been working with the patient for some time, and unfortunately, you know, they meet their end. How do you, mm-hmm. how do you deal with
that? Right. Yeah. Because the empathy that you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of support mm-hmm. for that. And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. So to battle burnout, I think it's really, you know, organizations do a mm-hmm. good job of that, or can do a mm-hmm. good job of that, when the values that they espouse, they mm-hmm. actually are mm-hmm. upholding. Right. I think we do a good job of that mm-hmm. with, through some of the things mm-hmm. that I've mentioned.
Right. I love that. You know, and it's not just we need to pay them more, because we can't. Yeah. I mean, in many cases, but it's funny because, you know, we laugh that millennials want those things. Well, hello, we raise them. And so, but yeah, it is about they need, yes, they need paid. Hello, you know, that's, you know, but they do want to know that where they work and what they're doing makes a difference. But I remember one of the times when I was in the hospital and I you know, took up residency. But I was talking with one of my nurses, and she was one of the older nurses, and she was a charge nurse on the floor. And we were just kind of chatting. And I said, you know, it is amazing that, you know, the level of care that you get. And I had a lot of younger nurses, and that was great, you know, and they liked assigning them to me because I was a challenging case and I love to talk. And so, you know, we could talk about a lot of things, but this nurse told me, and I, you know, obviously still remember this. She said, for many, it is a calling, and for others, it's a job. And you really could tell the difference, you know, and it was okay for those who it was a job. I mean, you know, that was fine. But for whatever it is, we really do know the difference when we are working with someone who, for them, it is their calling. It is their passion. Now, that could change. But at that moment, that is the most important thing that they can be doing.
Absolutely. You know, when you speak to providers, whether mm-hmm. it's obviously a doctor, a nurse, a mm-hmm. respiratory therapist, there is a level of pride mm-hmm. that truthfully I haven't seen in many places mm-hmm. about the work that they do, because very few people's work is or can be mm-hmm. life or death.
Right.
And not mm-hmm. only for that individual, but the downstream impacts of a mistake mm-hmm. in that field.
Right.
Could impact families, mm-hmm. could impact loved ones, all of those mm-hmm. things. And so I think there's that extra level to that person's mm-hmm. point around it's a calling. You see a lot of that in healthcare. Mm-hmm. You do. And granted, to your point, yeah, you do see other folks who are in it in it for the money, right? And I'm not knocking either mm-hmm. one, to be honest. But there's that sense of pride mm-hmm. that I've you know, and I've supported our RT folks, I've supported mm-hmm. nursing clients before, and you really see it and feel it. And mm-hmm. I commend it, to be mm-hmm. honest, right? I it is something that I've always been mm-hmm. impressed with, because day in and day out, to deal with some of the things that they mm-hmm. deal with.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that could be me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know it couldn't be me. Yeah. I would be going, ew, ick, yuck. Or, really, that hurt? That's what you're worrying about? Of course, you have to maintain kind of that distance, but still have sympathy and empathy. And it's interesting, because I do differentiate between sympathy and empathy. I think empathy is when you kind of have been there and done that. And so you can say, hey, Brian, I know what you're going through. It's compassion and it's sympathy when you can still say, what can I do to help? How can I make it better? It's interesting. I wrote a blog post about that, because I had some people, we were having a very wonderful discussion about our upcoming goals for our businesses. And so this was part of my initiative, Trying Not to Die.live. But the women in this group that I am in are very professional, educated, knowledgeable, wonderful women who have their own businesses, and are going to be incredibly successful. And they already are. But we were talking about, what about upcoming goals? And I said, it is kind of hard when you are in my position to plan long term. Let's just be honest about it. Now we all could get hit by a bus tomorrow, so you never know. But you never, and these women who know my situation, which, for those who haven't known, I do have stage 4 cancer. I ignore it. It's, yes, I do all I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't let it stop me, is maybe the way to put it. But it does kind of change things. But they all said, we understand, we know what you go through. And of course, none of them did, because they've thankfully not had to deal with that situation. But they had sympathy and they had compassion. And I think that is a challenge in healthcare, because, you can't get emotionally attached to every patient you have. Years ago, I worked for an oncologist, and he told me, he said, I cannot have children as patients. He said, I just can't. He said, I cannot do that. And then, of course, you have the pediatric oncologists who, God love them. I mean, who could do that? And they're absolutely fabulous at it. So I think part of it is knowing and admitting what you're good at and what you cannot do.
No, absolutely. And can I ask you a question? When you feel, or when you hear mm-hmm. folks share that with you, mm-hmm. right? Like ask you, mm-hmm. What can they do to make mm-hmm. you better? Or potentially say, hey, I know what you're going through, mm-hmm. knowing that they don't. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel?
It depends on how they say it. For the most part, 99.999% of the time, they mean well. They're not, and so I just thank them graciously and we go on. But sometimes it is, I told one person, I said, no, you don't. You don't know what it's like every time. And I've talked to other cancer patients and or as I call them, warriors. I'm not a patient. I'm a warrior, right? And so when I've talked with others, there's that shadow that's kind of always there, that we never know. Are we going to get in the shower and find something? Are we going to cough and know, okay, this is not right? I don't try to correct anybody, because that would not be polite, right? Unless they ask. And then I'm more than happy to say, thank you so much. But it is a little bit different. You don't really understand. But again, they mean well. And so you don't want to go there. Every once in a while people will say, oh yeah, yeah, we know what you're going through. I mean, those people you don't even try with, right? they're not gonna, but I think more importantly is we also don't know for many people. They might know exactly what we're going through because they have either dealt with it themselves or with someone very close to them. So you hate to say, no, you don't, because they might. And so I think it's more give them grace and honor them, and just kind of go on from there. It's kind of, and same thing with workplace. Somebody might say, I hate it here. I don't want to, you don't know what they're going through. So let them lead that conversation.
No, I love that.
So tell us, we talked a little bit about your podcast, Why I Left. So why did you start it? And, tell us more about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So my baby, my passion project.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Why I Left, those who are interested in it, we'll put a note in there, but whyileft.co mm-hmm. is really a show that I got started because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I was actually in that chief of staff role mm-hmm. at the time. And I shared my background around, the employment attorney aspect, mm-hmm. the HR aspect. I've always been connected to what people are doing at work. Mm-hmm. And so I started to notice that there were, like during the pandemic, mm-hmm. a lot of people were leaving their jobs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Why? Mm-hmm. Right? You hear everything that's going on mm-hmm. in the world. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's crumbling outside. Mm-hmm. If you're in a role that thankfully they're not down, that no one's downsizing, mm-hmm. why would you take this opportunity to leave? I just got really curious about that.
Yeah. Why would you give up that paycheck, that security, all of those things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So why would you do that? And so kept going on, I started reading more and more about it. Mm-hmm. And then it was like these March or April job numbers come out. And it's like 4.5 million people left mm-hmm. their job. And I was like, whoa, this is huge, mm-hmm. right? And so I started this process of thinking about it. I was really nerding mm-hmm. out on some things, and then Anthony Klotz kind of coined this phrase, mm-hmm. great resignation. And then randomly one night I had this like epiphany idea really late in the night. It's like, I wonder if people would want to tell their stories. Cause mm-hmm. I'm reading articles here and there. People, they give a couple lines of why they left. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, there's more to that mm-hmm. than these couple sentences. I wonder if, right? Mm-hmm. And don't get me started down that wonder if path.
Right.
Really, mm-hmm. I got too many irons in the fire, mm-hmm. but the question started getting louder and louder mm-hmm. because I wasn't getting the answers that I wanted mm-hmm. to hear. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what if they wanted to tell their stories? Mm-hmm. Well, who's going to do it? Well, why don't you do it?
Right? Why not you?
Why not me? Right? Why not? Let's start a show. Oh, what are you going to call it? Well, I want to know why they left. Oh, why I left. Why they left. Oh, why I left.
Let's do that,
right? Let's do that. Boom. And so I have this idea. Mm-hmm. I end up writing out the intro mm-hmm. on the couch, 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. Because it was an idea that hit me so hard.
And you knew at 7 a.m. you might not remember it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I still have the phone note here. Like mm-hmm. I remember writing it out. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. And then it was like, okay, so how are we going to do this? Why don't we start a podcast, do this? Like, where do we go? Where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. So my wife bought me this great NPR book, mm-hmm. how to start a podcast mm-hmm. and all the things. And I devoured it. I mean, within 30 days, I had figured out what I needed mm-hmm. to do, how mm-hmm. I needed to do it. And then I started just stringing things together, mm-hmm. right? Platforms, mics, all of that. Mm-hmm. And then it got to a point where, how you have an idea, you get to a certain point where, because mm-hmm. it was never supposed to be a show mm-hmm. where I am talking about what's going on.
Oh, okay.
It's a show about other people. Mm-hmm. It's a show. So mm-hmm. I'm chronicling real stories from real people mm-hmm. about why they left their jobs mm-hmm. and the insights mm-hmm. that they've gained. So now I needed people. So I just started sourcing guests. Mm-hmm. So my why for starting the show was I really wanted answers to, I wanted to hear the stories mm-hmm. of these folks who took that leap mm-hmm. because I was actually, I was not necessarily encouraged, but I was like intrigued and inspired mm-hmm. as to why you would do that.
Right.
And I have learned so much. I'm in mm-hmm. season 3 right now, mm-hmm. but it has been a beautiful conversation about, and you read it in my bio, about mm-hmm. this human experience. Mm-hmm. And I talk about that, and it may feel to some, maybe feel a little lofty, but I genuinely believe that, we're all more connected than we want to give ourselves credit for. Mm-hmm. We're going through so much, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's different nuances here and there, mm-hmm. but we're going through so much. And what are the themes that connect us? Mm-hmm. Work is one of them, mm-hmm. Whether we want to be there or not. Right. people work. Mm-hmm. And at times, there are jobs that we have to leave. Mm-hmm. But the process that goes into that, we don't talk about that enough. Mm-hmm. And so the whole premise, you know, as it evolves, and I really try to get out there, is that we don't talk about resignations enough.
Right.
And I want to make...
Or we see them as a negative. Ooh, yeah.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. Someone resigns and, oh, they're a failure. They're a quitter. Mm-hmm.
Right? Right. Or they resigned before they got fired. Right. Mm-hmm.
Whole host of things. Mm-hmm. Right. But oftentimes that's not the case. Mm-hmm. There are very nuanced reasons behind this. Personal, mm-hmm. obviously sometimes professional, right? But I want to uncover that. I don't want it to be such a taboo topic mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what the show, you know, really started out as. Mm-hmm. Then as I've been recording, what I really found out the show is about is the show is about people overcoming fear. Mm. It's about people, mm-hmm. what I strongly believe now, and I suspected then, is that the pandemic gave folks an opportunity to be still, mm-hmm. one by force, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it gave people a chance to be still, mm-hmm. and it forced them to sit with their thoughts. Mm-hmm. And some of those thoughts took them in places where they were like, you know what I'm doing right now, I don't think I really want to be doing anymore. Mm-hmm. Or I have this other thing that I really want to try out, mm-hmm. or that I've been putting on the sideline for so long. I really want to try it. And you mm-hmm. know what? Now I have the time to do that. Mm-hmm. So what excuse right. am I giving myself mm-hmm. to not try? Mm-hmm. And you hear that over and over and over mm-hmm. again. And it's been beautiful, right? It's been beautiful because what I hear and what I see in my guests, and you see, you know, out there, you know, in on the internet, is that more folks are starting to realize that mm-hmm. it is okay to be, you know, multi-passionate, mm-hmm. right? Multi-hyphenated,
right.
As I've mm-hmm. seen folks say. But some folks are just scared to kind of explore mm-hmm. that, right? I guess you could kind of put me in that boat as well. This wasn't exactly a great time for me to start a podcast, mm-hmm. right? I don't know what the final thing was to say, hey, just go ahead and do it, other than this real interest, mm-hmm. but timing wise, it was probably some of the worst timing I could have ever picked mm-hmm. to start a show mm-hmm. working in the role that I was working in. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I found a way. Mm-hmm. I found a way. And I think as I look back on these past couple of years, you know, when, you know, I have folks make comment, you know, the perfect time is now and all that. And I say all these things and I'm like, I think in my mind, I was probably subconsciously thinking the same thing. It's mm-hmm. like, why not now? Like,
right.
Why not?
Right.
If you, mm-hmm. you know, you're able to balance these things or try to integrate them in a better way and have a family at home mm-hmm. and all that, you know, there's a couple hours mm-hmm. at night that you can carve out to figure this thing out. Mm-hmm. Why not try?
Right.
And so that's what I've done. So I think the audience is learning a lot. I've learned a lot about mm-hmm. myself. The show's a lot of fun to host. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy to get these stories out there mm-hmm. to the world.
I love it. You know, and there's so many things in there. You know, one of the biggest things is, you know, I always think about that little shoe company, right? And their motto, just do it. Mm-hmm. And it is so true, you know, because we always think now is not the right time and we have to wait for the perfect time, you know, or we have to wait till it's perfect. I do, you know, you are episode 952. I do not go back and listen to those early episodes. You know, it's just, no, I'm not going to do that because I've learned, you know, hopefully there, you know, I'm better as we go. We all learn all these various things, but it's never going to be the perfect time. And so at some point we just have to do it. You know, when I was deciding to launch my business many years ago, I was talking with a consultant. And I had done my business on the side, still had my full-time paying job. That was great. I actually loved where I worked, loved what I was doing, loved the people I was with. But I did. I had that little voice in my head saying, you can do something more, better, different, whatever. And this person, she said, what I had done was I jumped off the diving board and then I reached back up and I grabbed it. And I was just hanging on for dear life by not quitting my other job. And she told me, she said, right now, what you're doing is a hobby. You know? And that's great. I mean, it works out perfect. But she said, until you force yourself to make it work, it will not work. And she said, and you got to let go of that diving board. And that was one of the hardest conversations I had, because like I said, I liked the people I worked with. I liked what I was doing, but I did know there's something more, better, different that I can be doing. And I did have to let go. And I think that's, you know, it was not the perfect time. It was not the right time and all of those things, but it was the right time for what I was going to do.
You know, and you know, sometimes folks ask me too about, oh, you're starting this job, about resignation. Are you leaving your job anytime soon?
Right.
And I tell them no. And even now,
I like my job. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I joke with my current boss. He's like, oh, you know, don't get any ideas. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm not, right. What's great is that I've found this kind of nice space where, mm-hmm. you know, I wrote an article right around like a year anniversary mm-hmm. of COVID. It was called Purpose-Driven Work. Mm-hmm. And I've found a really nice purpose mm-hmm. in the work that I do day to day, that the company has been great in kind of feeding mm-hmm. that part of me, that side of me. But I've also found, you know, kind of purpose mm-hmm. in a lot of the other spaces mm-hmm. that I show up in, including this one. Mm-hmm. And that's also been wonderful. And so it's not about, I'm not interested in leaving it at all or anything mm-hmm. like that right now. But I do think that, you know, folks could benefit from hearing from other folks mm-hmm. on the decision-making process right. that happens mm-hmm. at work. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of folks, you know, especially some of the folks who entered the industry or entered into the workforce mm-hmm. during the pandemic, mm-hmm. there are certain norms that they are not aware of, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do you navigate certain spaces, mm-hmm. certain rooms? You know, my guests can offer insight into mm-hmm. that. And so it's been great, right? I'm mm-hmm. having a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I mean, look, your episode 900, what do you say? 952. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I talk a lot.
I tip my hat to you because I know the work that it takes to do this. Mm-hmm. And that is commendable.
You know, but like you said, it's a passion. I love it because it does not make money. You know, unless you are one of the major people, which is an incredibly small percentage. I mean, even if you get advertising, even if you have sponsors, folks, you ain't getting rich off this. You know, you might get McDonald's, but you're not getting, you know, prime rib steak, you know. It's a passion. People always ask me, what do I get out of it? I get to talk to cool people. Really, yeah. You know, and I learned something every time. I mean, that's also the other benefit was, you know, it's just, I truly enjoy doing it.
Yeah. You know, that's a great point, right? Because, you know, a lot of folks think because there's so many people who are starting podcasts mm-hmm. now, they feel like, and don't get me wrong, there is money in the space, mm-hmm. but a lot of these folks have representation behind right. them. They already mm-hmm. have big names to mm-hmm. come with. So the money mm-hmm. is just, the money is just following money mm-hmm. and right. granted, right? Mm-hmm. But for me personally, like mm-hmm. again, I'm not one of those big creators or anything like that. But what it's been great for is from a branding standpoint, mm-hmm. it's really helped show another side of mm-hmm. me
right.
that some folks often don't get it. Like mm-hmm. if you don't know me personally, you don't mm-hmm. get a chance to see mm-hmm. the silly side or mm-hmm. the side where I'm actually, you know, I get to ask folks these types of questions. Cause I really go deep into the backgrounds of my guests and try to really come up with some good questions for mm-hmm. them. And have these open dialogues mm-hmm. about truthfully something that's really kind of personal, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
And some of the feedback I get even from the guests, which I love, and it's a, mm-hmm. a testament to, you know, I'm very proud of kind mm-hmm. of the process that I've set up in order to source guests. Mm-hmm. You know, I only meet you maybe once or twice before we
right.
kind of get behind the mm-hmm. mic.
And you're not bosom buddies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm asking you questions mm-hmm. that are like, you know, you may not have told people mm-hmm. some of the answers right. to this. And I'm able to develop this rapport with them mm-hmm. very quickly because they know that I'm really genuine about this. Mm-hmm. I want to tell your story the right way. And I'm just going to kind of facilitate mm-hmm. you telling that story
right.
for the audience. Mm-hmm. And it's been great. You know, I've had some really open and honest conversations mm-hmm. on the show. that I'm just like, wow, like this is good. And then you get feedback mm-hmm. from folks who are like, hey, I really needed to hear that, or I'm going through a tough time right now. Like, you know, that's the other thing I've mm-hmm. happened to. I'm sure you've gotten a lot of feedback mm-hmm. on your shows as well. But some of the things you just never know mm-hmm. what people are going through, because some of the DMs and messages I get about the timing of either mm-hmm. actual episodes or different quotes or mm-hmm. different highlights, we're all going through a lot, mm-hmm. right? Call it burnout, call it whatever, mm-hmm. stress, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're all going through a lot. Mm-hmm. And for content to have an impact on someone mm-hmm. in that type of way, that's something I did not expect. Mm-hmm. I did not expect to mm-hmm. hear some of the things that I mm-hmm. hear.
Right. People always ask me, what's your favorite episode? And honestly, you know, now there are some that I remember more than others because of what they shared. Some of it's funny. I mean, like I remember one, and I refer to this very often, this gentleman who was so proud of the fact that he had set up his business and empowered the people who worked for him so well that he could go on vacation and not be bothered. Right. I mean, that was just, you know, he was like, I trusted them. I knew that they could do what I wanted them to do. Others, that's not what they want. They, you know, they want to be hands-on. Yeah, some are a little too much, but you know, and then, you know, with some of the insights that the guests have shared, but I'm going to put you on the spot. What are some of the things that you really have gone, oh my, you know, when you've been talking with folks?
Yeah. So there have been gem of quotes that that have come up. I'll start with, you know, probably, you know, season one had mm-hmm. had some good info. I'll share a story where I interviewed a gentleman who was a nurse in London, in England, and he really got into the mental health side mm-hmm. of the pandemic and how he struggled with it, mm-hmm. at suicidal ideations, all of these
things my gosh.
That were mm-hmm. popping up. And he was like, you know, I felt as though like I was a leader. I was supposed to be strong mm-hmm. and I couldn't show that kind of weakness mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. my staff. He was like, but had I taken better care of my mental health, he's like, I'd still be a nurse today. Mm-hmm. And that touched me because I was like, mm-hmm. wow, mind you, I didn't know he was about to go into all of that. Mm-hmm. But that was one thing I'm like, that's people need to hear that. Mm-hmm. It's what eventually sparked me doing a mental health series mm-hmm. for season two, because I, you know, I got so much feedback mm-hmm. around.
Right.
Thank you for sharing that. It was really mm-hmm. close to the pandemic too. That was one. Another was I spoke with a gentleman who was in cybersecurity mm-hmm. and he was talking about, look, yes, his why I left was for a variety of reasons, but he acknowledged, and I appreciated the openness, he acknowledged that a little bit also was about money, mm-hmm. right? It was a little bit about money, and that he was able to make, you know, the company he was working at wasn't kind of paying in a way that mm-hmm. others could. And then he talked about the importance of kind of having that balance, that integration mm-hmm. with work and life. And he mentioned, he said, when people have life outside of work, mm-hmm. their work comes to life. Mm-hmm. And he dropped that gem. And
I was love like, that.
Mm-hmm. That was poetic. His name mm-hmm. was Wale. I was like, that was poetic, right? Mm-hmm. And then another one, and this is one that I actually just did a masterclass on this mm-hmm. recently, because I mentioned how, you know, one of the big things, people overcoming fear and all of that. So I did this whole, you know, masterclass with the series mm-hmm. With a company named Blend. And at the end, I kind of did this poem where I ended up splicing in this phrase that a gentleman named Brad Hicks told to his son. And what he said was, he was like, you know, don't let fear take the fun out of life. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that's impacted me. It mm-hmm. was one of the quotes that has really stuck with me mm-hmm. because it's so, I mean, he was talking to his son, it was probably, you know, 7, 8, 9, mm-hmm. but it's so applicable mm-hmm. to us as adults.
Right. And even more so, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's stuck with me mm-hmm. so much, because there are times where, you know, you want to do something or you want to ask mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, I shouldn't, or maybe, mm-hmm. maybe it's not the right time. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, you know what? If you don't ask,
right,
what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. I almost think about it like with, mm-hmm. like with, you know, even me pitching this job. Mm-hmm. If I didn't make this pitch, what would have mm-hmm. happened?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'll never find out, but mm-hmm. but I don't really know. Mm-hmm. So it's things like that that have just been really impactful mm-hmm. to me and to the audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I've had others in, you know, season two and even season three now, just really, really reflective on their experience. I think some of the episodes now, because we're a bit further removed from that timing, mm-hmm. you get people who have reflected more on their mm-hmm. experience.
Right. Yeah. During COVID, people went, oh, I'm going to go do this now. Now yeah. it's like, no, I better think about that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what's been great is, you know, that first season, a lot of those resignations were relatively fresh. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that folks were doing were like in the startup phases. Mm-hmm. And what would be great is when I do my follow-up season,
right.
maybe mm-hmm. four or five, mm-hmm. I'm giving, you know, a couple of them have reached out mm-hmm. to me like, hey, I'd love to talk about what I'm doing mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be awesome mm-hmm. because now it's like, it was so fresh at that time. Mm-hmm. Now, when I talk to you again, I'm very interested to see right. like what it is. So, mm-hmm. So those are just some of the, mm-hmm. some of the big things there. And, you know, and I'll share one last one around, there was a gentleman named Matt in season two who this kind of gets into the like work life mm-hmm. and multi fill in the blank, right? Mm-hmm. He mentioned something about how every corporate professional mm-hmm. should have a side hustle. Mm-hmm. They absolutely,
even if it's just a hobby,
mm-hmm. even if it's just mm-hmm. that they should do that. And I love that he mentioned that. Mm-hmm. He went a step further to say, well, what if orgs supported that?
Ah.
Supported mm-hmm. their professionals. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say dreams, but I would mm-hmm. say hobbies. I like those mm-hmm. cool hobbies that are outside that may have nothing to do with mm-hmm. work. And I was like, ooh, that's radical, mm-hmm. right? I don't know of many folks who are doing that or organizations right. who are doing mm-hmm. that. One guest told me recently that she did something like that with mm-hmm. the company, but it didn't pick up much steam mm-hmm. because individuals in the company didn't feel as though it was like a genuine type of thing. Like,
well, and they're thinking we're going to yeah. lose them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's stuff like that. I love really having these conversations mm-hmm. around things that are work related, mm-hmm. Future of work, mm-hmm. current work, flexibility of mm-hmm. work. It's really been fun. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and I think we're still in that definite post-pandemic, what the heck is going to happen stage, you know, and you know, are people going back into the office? Are they going back into the office full time? You know, if they don't and say, no, I'm not, well, what the heck are they going to do? And I think that was one of the things we saw people who quit and then went, oops, that wasn't what I should have done, you know, but it's so interesting. And I think companies are definitely exploring that. You know, they know people liked being at home. And now I'm one of these people, I firmly believe that being in an office has huge benefits, even though I've worked from home for over 20 years. You know, the conversations around, it used to be the water cooler, right? Now the conversations around the coffee maker are sometimes the most valuable conversations that you have when you're working. You know, and when we're just Zooming with other people or, you know, whatever the platform is that you're using, we're not really talking about, well, hey, you know, final, you know, the NCAA tournament's getting ready to start. Hello, big sports fan here, right? You know, we might mention it, but not to the depth that we do when we're in person. And I think those relationships have kind of suffered. But at the same point, we have discovered, ooh, hey, you know, this, I like this. I want to be able to do this with my extra time, or I'm going to create time to do it. You know, and so I love that, you know, companies are maybe embracing that and saying, okay, we know that, you know, you're going to do this. And I mean, just look at how much time people gained from not commuting. You know, my husband gained a couple hours almost every day by not having to drive. So what the heck do you do with that time? And, you know, it obviously varied for every single person, but, you know, how can a company encourage their employees to use that in a positive way? Because it's like you were saying, you know, then they're going to think, hey, this is a great place to work. I want to stay working here.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. I think mm-hmm. it's supporting mm-hmm. that flexibility,
right?
Because I'm in the camp of mm-hmm. I'm also, or I'm in the future as hybrid camp, right? Mm-hmm. I do think there is value to in-person meetings and in-person settings. Mm-hmm. But I also recognize that there are times where you go to your office and you sit on Zooms all day, because, especially when you work for a large organization. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Right. And so I think that's where it needs to be from a hybrid standpoint for those opportunities where it's actually feasible, right? Because let's be honest, there are some jobs that can't be, right?
Right. Yeah, you have to be in person.
Yeah, yeah. But to your point, to your husband's point, that is something I've heard come up multiple times on my show, that for folks who have these different ideas, if they got an hour on the front end and an hour on the back end that is just now free, that's two extra hours to work on their business.
Right.
That's 10 extra hours.
You can do a lot with a 10-hour job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. It's then opened up because now folks are, you know, like, hey, let me try to do this thing. Right. Or, you know, there are some folks, I've read other articles. I haven't interviewed anyone who's done this just yet, but I've heard of other folks. Now they have part-time jobs that are remote. Because, like we were saying, inflation's 8%.
Right? Oh,
trying to bring in some extra money anywhere you can.
And the workforce literally now is worldwide.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's the other thing is, you know, because we all laugh and joke that, well, I can work anywhere that I have internet. Well, I can. I mean, you know, that's, but, you know, and so people, you know, I know one person who it does, you know, he works almost 100% remotely. And has taken the opportunity to travel, to truly travel. But he does it in a little bit different way. He will go to a city. He will find a B&B an Airbnb or, you know, rental. And he'll talk to him and he'll say, okay, I want your property for 2 months. What type of deal are you going to cut me so that you're not having to come in and clean? You're not having to transition. You're not having to do all that stuff. And in essence, they end up charging pretty much just what their mortgage is, right? Because they're, you know, and they still are making money off of it. And so then he's got this great home base to explore the city. You know, he's not packing his bags, all those various things. And, but he, you know, and he's still being incredibly productive with his company. I thought, wouldn't that be cool? You know, or move every 6 months or whatever. You know, clearly it doesn't work if you have kids. Now we, you know, people did learn, hello, we can do homeschooling. But, you know, I think it is, I thought, wow, that's a pretty cool thing to do, to be able to really pick and choose. This is where I want to live. And, you know, kind of gives snowbirds a whole new meaning, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I think there's going to be so much that is coming out like now. Right? Mm-hmm. So now we're what, 4 years out,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so the studies that are coming out now and what's happening, I think are really going to be interesting to see kind of where we go from here.
Right. You know, and I think companies still have kind of in the back of their minds, this could happen again, you know, and so we have to be prepared for it, you know, because it truly was, especially here in the States, you know, it was one of those things where you were in your office on Friday and not on Monday. And so many issues came up with, did they have the right equipment? Did they have internet? You know, all those things. I mean, I talked to people months later who still said, I am at my kitchen table. I don't have a place to work. You know, and so making sure that, okay, if something happens and you have to work remote, can we do it? You know, and so I think companies have done that, but I think they really are listening to their employees to, you know, because we all know it is difficult to replace a good employee. Yeah. It takes a lot of money, a lot of time, all those things. And so if they can say, okay, you know, you're going to come in every Monday and every Tuesday, but you can work from home Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, or whatever it is, companies are embracing that because they have seen that productivity has gone up. But, you know, it's, but you know, we do want to come back to the fact that so many people really did go, this is not what I want to be doing with my life. And I think COVID obviously was what spurred that. You know, we were losing people. And I think so many people went, this is not what I want to be doing with my life. You know, if it's, if, you know, what do I want to do? to make a difference. And, you know, for some of those, it's not like they were making earth-shattering, Nobel Prize-winning type of changes. It was more, I like what I'm doing. I want to do it on my own type of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the beauties of it all, mm-hmm. right? It simplified a lot of this process. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It simplified a lot of folks' thinking mm-hmm. around what it is that they truly wanted, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, it's not always rocket science. Mm-hmm. Some folks are like, hey, you know what? It could be as, I just want to spend more time with my wife, or I mm-hmm. want to spend more time with my right. husband or with my mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. How can I do that, mm-hmm. right? How could I mm-hmm. do this thing? You know what? Mm-hmm. Let me try fill in the mm-hmm. blank.
Right.
And I've loved to hear that, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, so people have really found that. And what's mm-hmm. also been great to hear is that the support system mm-hmm. that a lot of my guests have mm-hmm. had, all their partners mm-hmm. and all of that were very mm-hmm. supportive of the moves that they right. make mm-hmm. because they recognized mm-hmm. they saw a change in mm-hmm. them during the pandemic mm-hmm. that was like, you know what, you mm-hmm. do need a shift. Mm-hmm. You do need a shift. And, mm-hmm. and I've loved to kind of see that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, one of the questions you ask your guests, I'm assuming, you know, but I'm going to ask you is, what's next? What do you see coming up next for you?
That's a great question. So I think for me, I'll kind of pivot a little bit to what I do kind of day to day. So what's next for me is that, so we have really partnered, we at Northwell have really partnered closely with the New York City Public School System mm-hmm. to try and change the face of healthcare education.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've partnered in, with the support of mm-hmm. Bloomberg Philanthropies. We have, you know, secured this multi-million-dollar grant to start this new high school called the Northwell School of Health Science.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And what it hopes to do, what we plan mm-hmm. to do is we want to show young people the opportunities that exist mm-hmm. within healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, there are, if I you kind of nerd out with me for a second, mm-hmm. but nationally, about 19% job over the next 10 years, mm-hmm. 19% job growth is expected in healthcare.
Wow. Us baby boomers are getting older, you know, and we're right. going to need somebody to take care of us.
Right, mm-hmm. right. In New York, it's mm-hmm. 26%.
Wow.
So what does that mean? It mm-hmm. means that there are truly genuine mm-hmm. Careers
right.
that are available to mm-hmm. students. Some require four-year degrees, most don't.
Right.
But you can get a livable wage, mm-hmm. have this career-connected learning mm-hmm. that'll set you up mm-hmm. for the future.
Right.
And then the added bonus is that when you obviously partner with a company like us, mm-hmm. you know, then there's extra opportunity mm-hmm. and support if you choose to continue mm-hmm. or when you choose to continue mm-hmm. your education.
Right.
And so that, when we talk about what's next, mm-hmm. is really, you know, we're launching the school. Now we're in the planning phases now. Mm-hmm. We're launching the school in September 2025. Mm-hmm. And so that's truthfully the biggest thing on my plate. Mm-hmm. Look, mm-hmm. there's a great team of folks that I work with, mm-hmm. young lady named Stacy and Michelle, who mm-hmm. are really like my confidants and this on the Northwell side. And then, you know, Eliza and Jade on the city mm-hmm. side. So many people are making this happen. And then obviously, you know, the Bloomberg team, right? Mm-hmm. With Jenny and Howard and all those folks who are providing the funding for this, because what it does and what it's showing, it's a national initiative. We're mm-hmm. representing the New York region. Mm-hmm. But what it's showing and what it's doing is really de-risking mm-hmm. that opportunity.
Right.
For public-private partnerships mm-hmm. to do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really proud to be a part of mm-hmm. the work and really support it mm-hmm. because I genuinely believe in it. Mm-hmm. And so that is the biggest next that I have.
Oh, I love that. That is, gosh, that is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. So that's on day-to-day front, that's mm-hmm. that. And then I would say, you know, personally, the show, I'm just continuing to grow the show. Mm-hmm. Continue to grow my brand, mm-hmm. my personal brand, mm-hmm. and grow the show. Because what I think is important, you know, what's interesting, and like, I'm not really into stuff like that, but I happened to see it pop up the other day. I was like, I had this like thought leadership badge on mm-hmm. LinkedIn. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Because I answered a question around like, what is the benefit? Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we are more than the different roles or companies mm-hmm. that we work for and mm-hmm. or represent. Yes, we could be very proud of the work that we do as I am and mm-hmm. the organization that I represent, mm-hmm. very proud of that. but I'm also much more than that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, things like we may not get into maybe you as well, but you know, I got a wife, I got two kids, I got a dog that I love, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, but there's so many more things and facets to me that I think it's important to just continue to grow that branding side. And what I hope it just leads to is just other opportunities for me to kind of showcase that. And that's been great for the show. It's been great for obviously securing guests and just kind of building kind of who I am as a professional outwardly. And so those are the big things that I have going on. And, you know, just I'm always plugging the show. So I always, you know, that's my, my bread and butter with that. And so just continuing to grow that. So those are the big things that I have going on.
I love it. I love it. Well, so how do they find you and connect with you?
Yeah. So the biggest place to find me is really LinkedIn. So Brian, BRIANAQUART kind of gives you the nice springboard for there. I'm on Instagram and all the other places, but that's the first one. And then for the show, it's whyileft.co. That's whyileft.co. And that will give you obviously that's the main page, but that'll get you to the YouTube and it'll get you to the Apple and Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But that's where you can find me.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know, this is so much fun. And I love having this discussion because I think it's something that's always in somebody's mind is, am I doing what I should be doing? Right. And that answer could be yes. You know, great. I love that. Wouldn't that be fabulous? But I think for so many people, it's, you know, and maybe it is, I'm going to do something totally different, or I'm going to change what I'm doing on the weekends, or I'm going to go back to school or whatever. You know, we always need to be thinking, you know, what is next with what we're doing? And, you know, maybe it is that you're going to leave where you are.
Absolutely. You know, my biggest piece of advice for those who may be on the fence with that is really truly take some time to think about what it is you're aligned with, what it is you're interested in doing, and why you want to do that.
Right.
And once you figure that out, my biggest piece is you got to take action. There have been plenty of things that I've sat on the fence on, you know, didn't pull the trigger, you know, like, what, you know, for a variety of reasons, but no more,
right.
No more, right?
Right.
You got to take action. If you want something different, you maybe need to do something that you've never done before, because what's on the other side is going to be very beautiful.
Right. And nobody's going to do it for you, folks. I mean, that's the other thing. You know, nobody's going to do it for you. Your boss, you know, yeah, you might get a promotion or a different job or something. But yeah, you know, it's, you know, what's going on with it. So, oh my gosh. Well, Brian, this has been absolutely fabulous. And I can't wait to chat with you again, because I think this is definitely something that is evolving through the years. And it's going to be so much fun to have more conversation. But until then, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, what's been great to see throughout my show and just throughout everything, what I would say to you all is this: take some time for yourself to figure out what you want. It may seem simple, but sometimes simplicity is all we really need. Because once you figure that out, the world then just becomes your oyster. So I hope, you know, your audience can really take some time for themselves today to figure that out. Because once they do, I think everything else will just kind of fall into place.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, I've been having so much fun talking with Brian Acar from Why I Left podcast and several other things. I'm Deb Creer. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.